Morning, I want to ask you a question. How many are looking forward to 2026 and how many are a little bit worried about it? Isn't it interesting that even in a place this size, we can have lots of different feelings? Even inside of ourselves, we can have conflicting thoughts. For some of us, when we saw 2025, the calendar switch, we were like, amen. We're like, it's gone. For others, 2025 was an amazing year, and you have this sort of apprehension or this worry inside of you of like, if 2025 was good, does that mean 2026 is not going to be? We know that that shouldn't be our thoughts, but if we're honest with ourselves, many of us, whether through the walks of our lives or circumstances, we've had those feelings of what is a new year going to hold? We have the questions of, I don't know what it is there going to be what ifs? What if this happens? If you turn on the news, you see chaos and turns upside down, and you're like, is 2026 going to be the year where it all falls apart? But I want to tell you this morning that right from Scripture, we can find out a truth that there is a reason that we don't have to fear a new year. So this morning, as we dive into it, I'm going to ask you the question as we unpack it, do you see it? Do you see that God is still on the move? Do you see it, whether you're at the mountaintop or in the valley, that God has a plan for your new year? God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for our church. God has a plan for your family, your school, your workplace, and our community. And we don't have to fear a new year because God is near. So this morning, if you're taking notes, the title of our message is this: do you see it? And we're going to be unpacking a scripture, and unpacking a portion of text from Isaiah. This morning we're going to look at it in two different translations because I believe there's something here that we need to camp at, something here that we need to look at this morning. And we're going to be looking at Isaiah 43, verse 18 to 19, first from the ESV and then from the NLT. And this is what it says out of the ESV. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old, but do what? Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Jumping to the New Living Translation. But forget all of that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. So giving you a little bit of context before we dive into this text. Understand that this is coming in the second portion, sort of the second half or the second portion of Isaiah. In this time, things were not going great for the nation of Israel and Judah. We see that this is happening here. They're being surrounded. Things are not going as planned. And there's this concern and this worry in their hearts. Has God abandoned us? Has he left us? Is he still with us? Is he for us? Are all the promises of old still true? Because it doesn't look like it. And I don't know about you, but I believe there's some in this place, some online. And if it's not in this place or online, there's people that we know that are asking the same question. God, where are you? Are you not with us? I thought you were for us. I thought I was the head, not the tail. But it doesn't feel like it. My 2025 doesn't feel like it. And the first few days of the new year don't feel any different. Are you still there? And in this moment, the prophet Isaiah, the prophet of old, speaking on behalf of God, begins to speak these words of encouragement. And the leading up to it are the verses that we didn't read. He reminds us of who God is to them and to us. But then he also begins to speak of the promises of old and reminding them of what had happened in the Exodus. When they were in captivity and they felt like there was no hope and God had abandoned them, he started to remind them of God's power and God's strength, God's deliverance. But then he says these words. He says, forget all of that. Can you imagine hearing that? You're looking for a breakthrough. You're looking for freedom. And now the prophet is saying, forget all those things that you've been holding to. That has been your hope. That in the midst of all that is chaos of your world, your hope is that God had made a way. But now the prophet is saying, don't even count on that. Because I want to do something new. I want to do something new and something great in your life, something great that you have not yet seen. And it's not even that it's coming. What he is doing is already in your midst and has already begun, but we have not seen it or perceived it. And I believe this morning that that truth can apply to our lives as well. I believe faithfully from the text, we can realize that God is always moving forward. God is always moving in our direction, and God is always working on our behalf. In those moments that even if you do not perceive it or do not see it this morning, God is moving. God is working in your life, through your life, and around your life for his glory. But the question becomes, do you see it? Do you perceive it? The first truth that we want to look at this morning is transition lenses. Because we're believing and moving to a season of change. But I don't know about you, but how many believe that sometimes transition or new beginnings is hard? Sometimes it's scary. In our family, it's crazy to believe that in the end of this month, it will have been a year that we've moved, a year that we've been here at Glad Tidings Church, and we're loving it. But in those moments, even though you guys are amazing, a new beginning, a year ago, it was scary. It was hard. One of those moments of wondering, God, we know what you have done. God, you have been faithful. God, you have been true. God, you have always made a way. But in those seasons when it was getting near the end of our date of when we had to be out of our house and we didn't have a house, I'm kind of like, God, I need you to show up. Have you abandoned me? Ever been there? Ever had a part of your life where you're like, okay, God, I know it's new. I know it's good. I know it's you, but where are you? In our lives, we have to realize that transition is an inevitable. Change is inevitable. But in those moments, if we will look to the Word of God, we can realize that we don't have to fear transition. We don't have to fear a new year. We don't have to fear something that we don't know. In those moments where fear starts to grip your heart and the enemy of your soul tries to get inside your mind and inside your peace and steal your hope, and he tries to say, what if? What if everything falls apart this year? What if that relationship doesn't come to pass? What if this doesn't happen? Or in those moments where you know that God is going to do great things, you know that God is moving, God is working, but you haven't yet seen it, and you're wondering, what could happen? Do I have any warriors in this place? Don't have to put your hand up. Some are like honest. It's true. It's in those moments where like, what if, what could? God, I know that you can and I know that you will, but why aren't you doing it right now? In these moments, we have to realize that stepping out into the new and stepping out of the past is scary. Pastor Keith, last year, he ended it off by talking about crossing over, about Joshua stepping out, stepping into the new, and it was scary. One of my first messages here was about stepping into the new and crossing over out of the past and into the new. And again, we come to that same kind of moment where are we going to step into the new year with hope, with peace, with joy, with all of those things? Or are we going to fall back into the fear and wondering, what is it going to look like? But I want to tell you this morning that God has a great plan, that he's calling us to move forward. He's calling us to step into his new because God is asking you and me to step out of our fear and step into faith. To move forward, that no matter if you felt like 2025 was in the valley or you were at the top of the hill, what God has for your life is worth stepping into, because right in your midst right now, God is doing something. He is working. He is cultivating dreams and passions and purpose. He's already orchestrating and aligning relationships. It doesn't mean, understand, that the new year is going to be easy. You're like, Pastor, couldn't you told me that? No, for some, the new year is going to be hard. I'm not going to get up here and lie, and we're not going to say name it and claim it. No, sometimes you're going to walk through trials. You're going to walk through a tribulation, but you don't have to fear it because God is already working in your life, through your life, and around your life, and his plans are good. We have to start to believe that we don't have to fear what we're walking into, because if we would yet to perceive it, if we would see it, if we would realize, if we would behold it and experience that God is with us and God is for us, we don't have to fear a new year. That God right now is doing something in your life and preparing something in your life that works along with his redemptive story for your life. God, before the formation of this world, has given you a purpose and a plan. And it is for good works, for him to fulfill that, as we learned in Ephesians, that he is working that plan out for your good and his glory. In those moments, though, I'm asking us, church, to not let fear and not let the past, whether it be the victories or the failures, don't let that hold you back, but instead step out and step into what God has for your life. That we would start to have discernment and spiritual eyes to see that what God has planned for your life from the youngest to the oldest in this place is good. But we have to see, we have to lean in to have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking for 2026 for your life and for our church. That we wouldn't say it's about the past, as good as it's been or as hard as it's been. It's not about the past or even the great things that God has done. But he says, forget those things. Yes, use it as a rearview mirror, but if you're always driving the car in the rearview mirror, you're going to smash into something. In our lives, what he's asking us to do is say, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to step into the new season. I'm going to transition from fear to faith. I'm going to transition to always driving with the rearview mirror, that I'm going to look forward. Yes, I'm going to take a glance when I'm scared and remember the goodness, remember his promises, but I'm going to know that what is ahead is good because my God is with me. How many are okay to step in? So we move on to the second truth, because why can we fear? Because you can say, Pastor, that's easy. That's real easy, but you don't know my life. You don't know my story. You don't know what 2025 looked like, and you don't even know what the first few days of 2026 looked like. My car broke down, my house was leaking, all those things. That's not my life, don't worry. But in case it was yours, or you don't know that there was still, you had to walk through seasons where family were fighting during the holiday seasons, where prodigals are still a long ways off. And you're like, Pastor, I've been believing, but has God abandoned me? Has God forgot me? God, I've heard all these messages about a new thing, but is God still with me? How do I know it's going to be any different? How do I know when I turn on the news that he's still in control when everything around us seems like it's falling apart? How do I can realize that he's still on the throne? I think it comes to our second truth this morning. Look who's with you. We see all the way back to the nativity. We see back to our theme verse for this whole series where the angels came and they said, behold. But before they said, behold, they said these words, fear not. Do not be afraid. Have no fear. We see it through the Synoptic Gospels. We see those same words echoed from the prophet Isaiah. That when things are new, when things are turned upside down, when things are scary, our God isn't out afar, but our God leans forward and he says, don't panic. Have no fear. Don't be afraid. So today, if you're like, Pastor, I want to believe this, but fear is gripping your heart. Anxiety is gripping your heart. The thoughts are running rampant in your head. You feel like this huge weight upon your shoulders. Let me share these words of Scripture to you. Don't be afraid. Have no fear. Fear not. Don't fear the year that you're walking into. And why can we not? We cannot because of what Isaiah also says. Isaiah reminds us in a second as we're going to unpack the Scripture. He says, don't let your fear, your unknown, the difficult, or even the seemingly impossible stop you from trusting in God's faithfulness, his promises and plans for your life. Isaiah made that comment. He said, he's making a path in the wilderness. He's rising up rivers in the desert. Rivers don't just pop up and start to run through the desert. The desert's known for what? Being dry. Not having a lot of moisture. But he's saying, I'm going to bring rivers of life. I'm going to spring those up in the places of destitute, in the places where it feels like there is no hope, there's no chance. It's going to start to see that in the seemingly impossible in your situation, in your circumstance, in your life, in our community, in your school, in your workplace. We need to fear not, because God wants to do a good thing there. The seemingly impossible is possible to God, because he is more than able. And church, somewhere along the lines, as followers of Jesus, we have to actually start to live and look like Jesus, who believed for the impossible. Not because who we are, but because who he is and what he's already said. He says, fear not. He says, fear not, that he is going to do these things. That when we feel there's no path, and it's difficult, and it's hard. So if this year coming, you're like, it's already going to be difficult. It may be, but he will make a path in the midst of the difficulty. He doesn't say that they won't be difficult. He doesn't say there won't be trials. But he does say that he will be with you, and he will overcome those. And that's why we can say, I'm not going to fear a new year. And let's lean a little bit more into our text this morning to see why we don't have to fear. Because he does bring good news, just like the angels brought. Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 3, the beginning portion of that chapter that we read. And it says this: But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you, O Israel. The one who formed you says, what does he say again? Do not be afraid. So right now, say to your neighbor on your left, say, neighbor, don't be afraid. Say to your other neighbor, say, neighbor, don't be afraid. So now that we're not afraid, we can read the rest. For I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. If that didn't give you enough hope, let's jump back two chapters and read a verse from there. Isaiah 41, verse 10 says this: Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. God, who then speaks through Isaiah, knew what we're like. He made us. He formed us together. He knew that sometimes in life we would go through things that are a little bit scary. He knew there would be seasons of life and events of life that trying to do on our own, it would seem just too big, insurmountable. That the weight, the pressure would just be there, and you'd be like, he's forgotten me. So throughout the text, throughout Scripture, we hear, do not be afraid, fear not, for pretty much as many days in a year. Because he knew it's a common problem for us. But we see Isaiah rise up again and say, do not be afraid. So why? Why don't we have to be afraid? What truth and what promise, even from the text this morning, can we hold to in this coming year? That when we're walking through difficulty, when we see the seemingly impossible in front of us, when we believe that God has given us a dream, a purpose, a plan, he's orchestrated something in our lives and everything is going against, why can we have hope this year? I believe there's three things. There's more, but there's three things that we can really hold to that I think we can remember. The first one this morning is this: God is with you. The whole truth of Christmas season is he is Emmanuel, which means God with. Yeah, God's with us. So in those moments, God is not distant, but he's always present. When you're going through the wilderness, when you're going through the fire, when you're going through what seems like is going to drown you, what does our scripture and our text say today? It says that he will be with you. He's not going to let you drown. He's not allowing you to walk through it on your own. If you're at the mountaintop, he's with you. If you're at the bottom of the valley and it feels like everything's rolling downhill, he is with you. He hasn't forgotten you. No matter what the year ahead holds, he is still and will always be with you. You're not walking into this new year alone. Even if some are walking through loss and grief, because in the physical and the natural, Maybe you are this year walking into it alone for the first time. Maybe it's hard and you flip that calendar and you're like, what now? You're not alone. In that hurt, in that loss, in that fear, in the what now, what if, he is with you. He's walking it through with you. When it seems insurmountable, the new opportunity or the new venture that God is calling you to or calling our church to, when it seems too big, when it seems too much faith is needed, he's saying, I'm with you. We have to hold on to that truth. The second one is this. He is your God. So not only is he with you, but he is your God. He gave you your name. He formed you. He created you. For him, your journey is personal. I think we need to let that sink in sometimes. Your journey, your life, your triumph, your failure, your tears, it's personal to him. It matters to him. He sees you, he knows you, and he cares. When the tears fall on your pillow, he's there and he cares. He is your God. It's not someone else's God. It's not the faith or the hope of some person or a grandparent or a loved one or a friend. He longs to be your God, to personally walk and care with what you're going against. When weapons are formed against you, when words are spoken against you, when it feels like you can't carry the load, he is the one who is there and saying, I am with you, and I've got your back, and I'm going to carry the weight. I'm going to fight your battle. I'm going to lift the load. You don't have to rely on yourself because he is your God. He cares about you. So if you're walking through a tough situation, if you're walking through a bad diagnosis, in those moments, he cares. He's with you, he cares, and our third one, he will strengthen, help, and uphold you. And he doesn't do it from a place of defeat, but our text this morning told us, with his victorious right hand, the hand of victory, the one who has already won the battle is the one who is going to strengthen you, lift you up, empower you for what you're called to do. So the new season that he is working in your life and around your life, the new thing that he's calling you to step out into, he's with you. He personally cares and invested in it. And he's saying you don't have to rely on your own strength. I know in my life, I like to do things myself. Anybody else like that? They're like, well, I can do it. I don't need to get help. I struggle sometimes with asking for help. In this season of our lives, as we walk into a new year, I want to challenge people like myself to be reminded that he will uphold you, that you can trust him, that you can rely on him, that he's the one who's going to sustain you. He's the one who is your provision. He is the one who is your empower and your strength. He is the one who is going to fight for you. You don't have to fight every battle because he is battling for you, because he's with you, and because he cares. He has not abandoned you. He is even in the bottom of the bottoms. He has not abandoned you, and he is going to uphold you and lift you out of the miry mess, out of the pit, and into his fullness. That is the truth that we can live in. That is the truth that Isaiah was reminding the people of God all about. That even though it was going to be seasons of hardship, even though there was going to be trials and tribulations, that God had not abandoned them, that God was for them, that they didn't have to fear even in the depths, because in that moment, God is victorious. And I want to tell you that what we celebrate, and we're going to celebrate later about the cross, he was victorious. When he said it is finished, it was finished. When he went to the grave, it didn't stop there, but he had power over the grave and over death. And in those moments, he says, now, you can join with me. That's what we're standing on. That if the grave couldn't hold him, and he is with me, and he is for me. He's personally invested in my journey, and he's saying, with my victorious right hand, I will lift you up. I will strengthen you. I will provide. I will protect you. If the grave couldn't hold him, then, oh man, I look bad on whatever's trying to hold me down because my God is with me. That helps us to do that, but we come back to those seemingly moments of, do you see it? The question that I started this all with. We can have all of these things. We can believe that God is with me. We can believe that God is personally invested, that he is my God. And we can even believe that God will strengthen me and uphold me and carry me through. But the question then becomes, again, what's he carrying me into? How do I see? How do I perceive? How can I better get eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking for my life this year? Because God is. God still speaks, as we saw this morning. God is still speaking today. God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. He's calling us to step into his new. Whatever that may look like for your life, but the question is, do you perceive it? Do you yet see it? Have you beheld it? So how can we do that? How can we get better at actually becoming aware and sensitive to what the Spirit is speaking to our lives? Isaiah shows us. Isaiah shows us in the text we started with. First one, if you want to walk into the fullness for what God has in 2026 for your life, if you want to see what he has already begun right now, he's already working in this place for this coming year, we need to forget the past. Not forget it all, but let go of the past. When we look at the Hebrew word that was used there, it's about many times the past will dictate and direct our lives. Most of us can say amen. Past hurt, past failure, and for some, past successes. We're still living in the great thing that happened in, 1960 or 1970. And the fact is God is still moving. What is God going to do this year, right here? Because God has something new. God has something different. It's not saying that the past wasn't great, but he's saying that God is new every morning. What he wants to do in 2026 is new for our lives, new for our church, new for our community, new for our nation, if we would just behold it. But in order to see what he is doing and wants to do, we have to let go of some of those things of the past. Some of us are walking into 2026 with some junk that we should never be carrying in, some hurts, some failures. We need to learn to healthily unpack our past because it will shift our focus to the future and what God has planned for our next. We talked about this a year ago, about stepping into the new, honoring the beautiful tradition of our church, honoring the great things that God has done, but with hope and with expectation for God, what do you have yet in store? Build on the beautiful foundation blocks, but blow this roof off for what you want to do in this city for your kingdom and your glory. Amen? So in those moments, how do we practically do it? I want to challenge you this morning and in the week to come to begin to ask him. Ask God, maybe for the first time, are there things of my past that I haven't let go of that are stopping me from seeing what God is already doing and wants to do in the coming year? Offenses, bitterness, unforgiveness, hurt. Maybe it's even good things. Acknowledge them. If they're good things, give them credit. Rejoice in that. But say, God, I rejoice in it. I rejoice in what you've done. Oh, but open my eyes for what you are doing and what you have yet to do. Give me expectation, anticipation, God, that what you have in store is good. Move in my life, through my life, and around my life for your glory. Number two, look and discern. We have to actually see it. We can let go of the past, but now we have to have eyes to see. We need to become spiritually sensitive and aware to what is God doing in our midst. That you might not see it with your physical eyes. It may not even comprehend with our mind, but in our spirit, it begins to leap and say, God is doing something. That even though it seems like it's a wilderness, even if you're at the bottom of the valley and it's tough and it's hard and you're going through what seems like hell, in those moments, be trusting, be believing that our God is doing a new thing. Allow him to begin to show you what he wants to do. I love what Joshua 3:5 reminds us of. Joshua 3:5, and it's not behind me, you can kind of get the paraphrase and look it up yourself later, is that if we would consecrate ourselves, if we would become people of prayer, if we would get our hearts right, that the next day, that in the future, God will do amazing things around us and through us. In our lives, the practical thing that we need to do is become a people of prayer. If you want to see and discern, we need to be people who are talking to him. In this coming year, we need to make prayer a priority, that we will lean in, even if we've never done it before, that daily we will say, God, help me to see what you're doing. Help me to see what you're working in me and through my life for your glory. As we start to get things right in our life, as we start to get this relationship correct, these relationships and impact will become correct as well. He will do amazing things that you cannot dream or fathom through your life and around your life if we will get our lives right with him. So what I want you to do practically this week is do this. Pray and ask God to show you one thing to look forward to in 2026. Even if today you're like, Pastor, I don't want 2026 to be here. I'm already counting down the days until it's gone. If that is your life today, I want you to pray. Pray for a few things. But pray and say, God, what is one thing that you're already started in my life that you have planned for 2026? It might be a purpose. It might be a passion. It might be something that God's calling you into. It might be something that God's calling you out of. Begin to see it and then write it down. Write down whatever God shows you. And then we're going to our last truth for this morning. Step into the new. If we want to be people who see it, we need to first let go of the past, spiritually begin to see it, and then we actually have to take a step. We have to make an action step. We actually have to step into it. Church, I believe for so many years, especially in the Western world, we've seen things, but we stopped with seeing. We've talked about things, but we struggle with taking the step to say, I'm ready to do it. Let this year be the year that you don't let fear hold you back from seeing and then doing the thing that God has shown you. It's going to take faith. It's going to take courage. You're going to have to fear not. You're going to have to trust that he's with you, that he is your God. And that his hand will sustain you, he will empower you, he will uplift you. In these moments, begin to walk out, relying on his understanding, not our own. As Proverbs 3:5-6, don't rely on our understanding, but rely on him. He will make a clear path. He will make springs of water rise up in the desert places in our lives. But sometimes you need to step into the river like Joshua did. You need to step in before the waters pull back. In your life, you might have to step right into the thing you're so scared of before God actually upholds and lifts. Don't do it on your own. But if God starts to show you and you're discerning in prayer and he's saying, step out, then in this moment, in this season, begin to step out and say, God, I trust you. And that's our practical step. Our practical step is the thing that God asks you to write down, the thing that God begins to show you. Now ask him to give you a step or a first step that you can take. It might not be a leap. It might not even be a bound. It might be a shimmy. You might be a little bit scared. It's like walking into cold water. In those moments, you're like, oh, I don't know if I can do it. Begin to shimmy in his direction. God will give you the plans. God will give you the steps. He might not give you the whole instruction manual, but he's already put in his word that you can trust him. Trust him even though you can't see it, but perceive it in your spirit. Because sometimes our physical eyes cannot see what God is doing. That's why Paul says in Ephesians, like we unpacked this year, that the eyes of your heart be enlightened and awakened so that you would see the glorious inheritance and his riches that he has for you that comes through what he's already done. Church, let us have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking to our lives, to our families, and to our church. That this would be a year where we step into his new and we say, hey, do you see it? God's doing something great. And everyone around you says, well, I don't understand. Your life's falling apart. I know, and I acknowledge that, and I'm walking through truth, but I know that this is not the end of my story. That I can still see that God is with me, that he is my God, and he will strengthen me. And this is not the end of my redemptive story, because my God is not finished with me. So today, whether you feel like your 2026 has started at the bottom of the valley, or you're living on the mountaintop, don't be afraid of the new year. Begin to allow your eyes to come awake, come alive, and say, do you see it? That's my challenge to you, church. Do you see it? Do you see it? God has big things for this church. God has big things for our lives. Don't let the enemy cloud your vision. Don't let the enemy and doubts or fears of the past cloud the goodness of what God wants to bestow on our lives, on our church, on our families, on our city, on our nation. Let it start with us. Let it start here. Let us have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking, and let us have boldness and courage to step in. Step in when we're scared. Step in when we're like, but the past says this. Step in, because if God has called us to it, God will call us through it. Church, let's believe for great things this year. Amen.